Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Healing and Growing Together. My name is Niza Lebopiri. Always excited to do this, and I appreciate your feedback. Feedback is always very encouraging. There's something that I like to say, which is that where I come from, I am celebrated, I am affirmed. And so whenever I do whatever it is that I do, it is not for affirmation or celebration. Like, I do it from a place of already affirmed, already celebrated. And so this is just my way of pouring out, to be honest. Last year on my birthday, I sat down over lunch and I wrote a letter, just a reflection of what has been, you know, what my 20s looked like. And one of my reflections was that my 20s were very aspirational, inspirational. And no matter what I was doing, I was trying to have people be inspired, have people find aspiration to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. So whether I was doing radio shows or TV shows, or I was writing poetry, or I was curating events, it was just for the same purpose. And so in my 30s, my life is a lot about pouring out, like in curating stuff, in organizing stuff, and putting myself out there to inspire people. There's so much that I've gained. There's so much that I've been able to gather for myself. And so in my 30s, it's all about pouring all of it out. So whether it's pouring out through one-on-one counseling sessions, or pouring out through coaching sessions, or pouring out through speaking engagement, writing on Substack, or sharing on this podcast, it's just from the place of I have so much and I want to share it. I have so much and I can no longer keep it to myself or for myself, right? And so thank you so much for giving feedback. While I'm not looking to be celebrated, I'm not looking to be affirmed, it's encouraging to hear that it has gotten to someone. When somebody said I listened, it's like, oh, there it is. There was someone that I poured into. And I'm grateful for that. So if you want to connect with me, please check out the show notes for links to my social media, to my other platform, whether it's Substack, TikTok. And if you ever want to speak to someone one-on-one, I do have details of how you can reach me and even have that one-on-one session with me. Today, I want to talk about aging or growing older. And there's so much that has led to this conversation, but I had to sit down and even try and structure, like, what exactly do I want to say about this? And I want to start by saying that I hate how we talk about age. Everywhere you turn, someone has something negative to say about getting older, and I hate that, okay? I'm using the word hate, it's probably such a big word, but I really do despise it. I loathe it, whatever other word we can think of. I'm just curious about how many memes you have probably come across that make fun of turning 30. Jokes about knees giving up or bones just giving up, right? The whole born in the 1900s versus 2000s trends. You know, like, it's funny at first glance. Like, we all laugh about it. I don't know, there was someone on my timeline, I can't remember who, but when they turned 30, I think they received a gift of, I think, painkillers, like they would need them. And it's also the joke of the 1900s and the 2000s, right? You've probably seen this trend where someone is asking, when were you born? And when someone says 1990 something or 1980 something, it's like they are so grown and they are so ancient, and their pictures put maybe in the Jesus times. I think I saw one where someone was sitting at the table where Jesus sat for the Last Supper, right? And it's so funny. I can laugh to the jokes, yes, right? And it's one thing for me to say I was born in 1991. It's something else when somebody says you were born in the 1900s, you know, as though I was there when dinosaurs were a thing, or as though I was having tea with Churchill and Queen Victoria type of thing. I don't know why I thought that far into it, but somewhere along the way, aging has become a competition between between the young and the old, and worse, a conversation about bodies instead of humanity. And there's a lot more that I'll get into. And I think we need to talk about what that is doing to us as a people, but also to the younger generation, okay? We'll start here. The challenges that we have turned age into a war between the generations, right? We want to talk about what the Gen X or boomers did or did not do. We want to talk about the mental health challenges and issues among millennials. We want to talk about how carefree Gen Zers are, even to the point of calling them lazy. And it's just a war between the generations. Each generation has an opinion of the other generation. And sometimes we even kind of weaponize our generation. Like we millennials are. We went through suffering mentally because of our parents. And that we have it hard because our parents did not do ABCD. The whole conversation. The other thing is that we have reduced people's worth to how their bodies look at certain ages. So you're in your 20s. You're in your prime, you're in your 30s, probably even having kids, getting married. Like the whole conversation, like people are becoming so conscious, like, oh, how do I look? Like I look 30. And then there are these jokes that we now see where people are saying, oh yeah, 40-year-olds don't look like 40-year-olds anymore. Like who even told us what 40-year-olds should actually look like, right? Why are we all of a sudden celebrating the lack of wrinkles on our faces? Like why? I'm a type of person who really likes such things like wrinkles and gray hairs, and I look at that and just see grace. I see substance, okay? The other thing which is a challenge is that we have made turning 30 sound like a tragedy or a failure. Like doom awaits at the end of your 20s. Like, trust me, it beats me. But that's why we're really having this conversation. Recently in Zambia, conversation comparing young women to older women centered around bodies and sexual satisfaction. Okay, and what frustrates me is this. We shrink people's humanity into their bodies or age, or what people are able to do or not do, and most times for the male folk or for society, right? You are 30 and you haven't been married yet, you don't have kids yet, right? There's a pressure that comes on the person. The other thing is that we have just reduced people to what you have done at what age, especially when it comes to family life. Like, are you married? Listen, I'm 34 years old. I'm unmarried. I don't have children. Half the time when I'm met with this conversation around children, I'm just like, I would want to meet someone, but I'm not sure if I want kids. Like, I have enough nieces and nephews at this point. I'm just like, I don't think I have the capacity to think about whether I want to have kids or not. And if I have met someone who makes me feel safe enough and who makes me feel like we can build stability together, because I have stability by myself, I have safety by myself. If I introduce another person in my life, I need to be able to assess if the two of us can do that in order for us to bring life in this world and really steward the life that we birth into this world together. And in my practice, I've sat with people in their late 20s who are anxious about turning 30. I'm talking about anxiety, an endless pressure and fear around turning 30. And so online, we laugh about it. But people are losing sleep about this. And this might sound very small and very simple and very useless and very futile, whatever English we can find about this. But we really need to have a conversation about this. And recently I was having a conversation with someone, and you know, they were showing interest in actually coming into therapy. And part of the conversation was me thinking, like, you know what, there was, like, if I ever had to put a treatment area or a support area, like, oh, I support people through grief, through relationships, the time before you turn 30 could be one of the areas. Of which, when I thought about it, I was like, I already do that, because I'll talk about existential crisis, right? And when do we experience existential crisis rather than at moments of transition? So your transition from your 20s to your 30s, of course you're going to go through an existential crisis, and you need guidance. Almost like stay away from social media. Mute everything that talks about age. Mute everything that talks about life in your 30s. And I like to say, like, this is my personal story. When I was 26, I could not wait to be 30. Like, true story, that's the only reason why me turning 30 was a celebration. You know, I didn't worry a day about turning 30. I could not wait. I needed it. I looked forward to it. Because when I turned 30, I was grateful to be alive. Because my 20s were turbulent, were troublesome. I suffered a lot of losses in my 20s. My parents' divorce, career pivots. It was emotionally exhausting, stretching, whatever words I can find. So 30 felt like not just survival, but like I had lived through my worst and that things could only get better. That's all I knew. And honestly, because of that attitude, aging has brought me so much beauty. Like when I turned 30, I just felt like I became alive to all the possibilities, name it. So what has helped me? I want to share that with you because maybe you're in your 20s, maybe you're in your 30s about to turn 40, maybe you're in your 20s and about to turn, you know, 30. What has helped me is number one, my attitude, just like I've shared. My attitude towards age. Listen, I decided that the older I grow, the better things get for me. Because what are the years for if not substance, if not wisdom, if not knowledge, if not ease? The other thing is that my relationships will improve. My clarity will improve because I've lived long enough to see stuff. My emotional regulation will improve because obviously I know that I can't crash out every time I want to crash out. My communication improves because now I'm calm. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not turbulent. I'm not rushing to anywhere. Okay, this could be the only moment I have, but I can be present and also just hope that, okay, maybe this is not the only time that I have and I can just listen and observe and not want to say everything that I want to say, such that when Niza speaks, everybody listens. I was laughing about this the other day. I was in a group and I was sharing my opinions, such that the person who was hosting may have become so curious about who I was and they ended up finding my podcast. I hope they listen to this. That was again very encouraging because I've learned to communicate in a way that's not very hurried, in a way that is not impulsive. And this has come with age. There was a time when turbulent Niza would stand to speak and she would be all over the place. No structure, no form, no anchoring, nothing. My sense of self has also deepened with age because of the attitude towards age that it will only get better. And so my sense of self, like I know that I know that I know. You cannot tell me anything else. I had a conversation about this with some guy a few years ago. He's like, you know what? You don't dress like just the other random girl. But there's a way that you hold the room that almost seems like you are the most prettiest person in the room. And you know, it was so like, I was like, please tell me what you're trying to tell me. But obviously he couldn't find what he was trying to say. But I knew what he was trying to say and I wasn't going to entertain that. All I could say was that, trust me, I can probably wear certain garments. I have thought about how to improve my style. I haven't had energy for it anyway. But I am so conscious of who I am and what I carry more than what my garments are. I'll always be decent, but the next person can come probably wearing whatever they feel comfortable to wear. That is not what defines people. Remember again the conversation around bodies, right? Like the reason why we make it about how you wear what you wear and what you're wearing is because it's all about the body. It's not the garment. It's not the, I hope you're getting me, but I know who I am. Oh, I know my body. I love my body. Like I'm the type of person who will be 30 kgs more and I still stop in the mirror and say, damn girl. And I will lose that 30 kgs and I'll still stand in the mirror and be like, damn girl. Because of the sense of self and where self really comes from and how self is expressed through what I wear, what I say, what, you know, where I find myself. So if you fear aging, I want you to start checking your attitude towards it, towards yourself at different ages. What story are you telling yourself about growing older? Niza told herself that the older she gets, she is going to get better. Everything is going to get better. Her relationships, her clarity, her emotional regulation, her communication, her sense of self. And hence, that's my reality. Number two, looking up, not down or horizontally. This is the second thing that has helped me, that has helped how I view growing up, how I view aging. I look up, not down or horizontally. One of the most powerful things I've done is look at people older than me. Not so that I can criticize them or I can compete with them. Obviously, I can't. I have no capacity. But to observe, like to look closely. I do have friends in their late 30s. So my friends are probably like, what, 37, 38? And then I do have a lot of people that I relate with very well who are in their 40s, people in their 50s, people I've called mentors or I've called aunties who've lived lives that I respect. And I just watch how they do things. I watch how they solve problems, how they navigate relationships, how they handle conflict, how they build wealth. Oh my goodness. How they build inner peace, how they care for themselves, like self-care. Oh my word. And observing them has shown me something, that it gets better. I think when I was 28, I would look at people who are CEOs. And you know, you're probably aspiring for corporate and you're like, you know, I want to make CEO, I want to make partner at this age. I think around 29, I told myself, Niza, be careful. Stop for a minute and observe. Look around. How many CEOs are there and when did they become CEOs? And I was looking at the Mzinga Melus, I was looking at the Sony Zulus, name it, like people in banking and people in fintech and people. And then I realized that most of them, 95% of them were making CEOs when they were like in their 40s. There are a few exceptions of people who are making CEOs in their 30s. But many people that I knew, many CEOs that I was reading about were making CEOs in their 40s. And I was like, why are you rushing? Why are you rushing, Niza? Just look forward, look up. It's possible, but kuntash, you know? I also became curious about when most people had accumulated wealth. Also, I think the matter of wealth is very, it's intergenerational. It's not really like someone who just doesn't come from any wealth. Just like amassing this wealth in their 30s. It's like, where did it come from? And me, I become curious. Like, even, are you just rich or are you wealthy? But I say this because I think there was a friend of mine once shared something about a friend of his, or a mentor of his actually, who for his 40th birthday, his friends had bought him, I think, a Mercedes Benz. I think I may have also seen this on Twitter at the time. And for me, even that was like a telltale sign. Like, wait a minute. Why do I think I need to have money for a Mercedes Benz as a gift to my friend in my 20s? When truly, people who've worked hard for their money and built their friendship are only able to afford it in their 40s, right? So many people build wealth even in their late 40s. Many people gain stability in their 40s. Many people gain deeper clarity in their 40s. And you don't have to accomplish everything by 28 or by 30. Hear me and hear me well. Aspiration is important. Ambition, it is big. Have it. But be realistic. This is Zambia, I beg. Yes, we pray to a God, but even our God is a God of principle. Like, it must make sense. Okay, the issue is that we like miracles. Like, it must be very miraculous. I like practicality because it can be replicated. Because we just think of miracles, we don't know how to build systems. Oh my goodness. I don't like that I'm saying this, but I have to say it. Just building systems. Like, even in the Bible, we are seeing how Joseph is building a system that helps sustain a nation for 7 years. But us, we just want there to be overflow. And the grain, barn, and you know, think about that. So yes, sometimes the Mercedes only comes at 40, or the money for the Mercedes Benz only comes at 40, and that's okay. So that's my number two. Number two is look up, look at the people who are older than you. Have people in your life who are older than you. Like, all your friends cannot be your age mates. All your friends cannot be younger than you. Why don't you have friends who are older than you? Why don't you have mentors, people to sit down with, people to have tea with, people to talk to who are older than you? I am not asking for any 20-something year old to come after me. I joke. That's number two. Look up. Don't, not just down or horizontally. And then number one, if you remember, your attitude towards age. Number three and the final one, and we close. Exposure changes you. If anything, exposure may tame your anxiety. The more examples you see of healthy 40-year-olds, of grounded 50-year-olds or very peaceful 60-year-olds. But also it depends on the 60-year-old, because there are some 60-year-olds who have no peace. Like, they are full of regrets, what they did, what they did not do. And maybe that's why it's important to actually speak to them. Because what are you stressing about that you shouldn't actually be stressing about? There are all these videos, even on TikTok, that you come across of people talking about what their regrets are. Like, what do you wish you did when you were younger? Please listen to those things. A book that I need to recommend. Please read Tuesdays with Maury. Read Tuesdays with Maury. Because Tuesdays with Maury, Mitch Albom. I think Mitch Albom. Am I pronouncing his name right? Mitch. Let's call him Mitch. Mitch is interviewing and having conversations with his professor who's about to die. The professor's opinions about life, love, faith, work, like name it, still profound. And this is a guy who's about to die. Like, listen to people who are about to die. Sit down with people who are about to die. If they are sensible, they will pass on, they will pour in you everything that they know. If I die, I hope somebody finds this podcast episode, because this is my pouring out. So exposure changes you. Exposure may tame all the anxieties that you have around growing up. The less scary aging becomes when you actually just look at examples. Models are important. I have a lot of models. So you don't ever hear me complain about my bones hurting. Do they hurt sometimes? Of course they do. But I also know how to take care of myself so that I don't wake up like literally needing someone to turn me in the morning and just say, okay, number five. No, if it comes with age. And you know, there are times when I have all these skincare remedies that I've learned for women who are in their 50s. Oh my goodness. I'm thinking about Miss Christine and how she told me about turmeric masks. Okay. I'm thinking about Mrs. Mary Mlenga, Yambayamba Kazeleman. Coach, we call her Coach Mary, and she told me about collagen. Like, you know, start taking collagen often. Start taking collagen. I'm thinking about Miss Helen. Miss Helen runs a cake business here in Kittery called Ramen Raisins. And there were times when I would just get anxious about, and it is Miss Helen to prep me, because there's 30-something-year-old who doesn't know what to do. And she will, listen, Nisa, we need to learn to inconvenience ourselves for friendships. And she doesn't just tell me that, but she shows me how she, not that she's showing me, but that I observe her inconveniencing herself because her friend has lost a mother, or her friend is flying into the country from the US, or because, and I observe that. Find models. When you have proof that life doesn't shrink, that life doesn't, like, life gets better with age, the fear actually reduces. So the next time you feel anxious about growing older, check your attitude. Find someone 10 years older than you. Find people 10 years older than you at your church, at your workplace. Sit down with them. People like talking about themselves. Sit with them and ask them about themselves. Observe their life. Okay, offer to do something for them just so you can observe their life. Not just your parents. I think we already have very biased opinions about our parents, so they may not be the best people to learn from. So go to somebody that you probably admire. Notice what has improved for them. Notice what has gotten better for them. Notice what they've survived. Notice what they've survived. Maybe you will realize that you're not running out of time, that there's so much to grow into. I'm saying this for myself. There's so much to grow into. And with age comes depth. Nisa today and Nisa 5 years ago, Nisa 10 years ago, the difference. Nisa at 24. Yay, mwe. Can I please end here? Thank you for listening to this episode. Please favorite my podcast. Leave a comment. Screenshot and share this with someone. I do have a Substack publication, so you can also read some of my thoughts there. And I'm praying that with this age and this need to pour into others, that the Lord will bring people that need this information to me, that this episode will reach the person that needs it the most. So once again, thank you for listening. Go to the show notes for links to different offerings, and let's chat soon. Goodbye.